It has been a blessing to be here. Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 15. I love seeing those little soldiers come up here. They hold a real special place in my heart. We have about 10 of our own. We're trying to train up, not all mine, but the three of my own in there. And we call it basic training. We got some soldiers up there. It's a blessing. Amen. Oh, man, I've got some help this week. This has been good. I'm going to make some changes when I get back. First thing we're going to do, Brother Knowles, we're joining your denomination, the Dependent Baptist Church. I'm changing the website and everything. Amen. Amen. It's been good to be here. All right, Matthew chapter 15, very familiar passage. We're going to just read a couple verses, but this is the Syrophoenician woman looking for some help. And she gets her help. Amen. But we're just going to go ahead. Everyone pretty much knows this story. So let's pick it up verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread, cast it to dogs. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, when I read this passage, it reminds me of a faithful servant I know. Or new. This isn't going to be a, you know, nice 3 points in a poem. It's not, you know, a good outline at all. It's just going to be an illustration of what I see as a faithful servant. And this isn't any person. It's a dog. You know, when the Lord rebukes this woman and says, it's not meat for me to give the children's bread unto dogs, most of us would go, how dare you call me a dog? And she said, she didn't take it like that. You know what she said? Yeah, I'm a dog. I just want some crumbs. Now, we had this dog. He's dead and gone now. Been gone for about 4.5 years. And this dog holds a very special place in my heart. I will get emotional. If you want to judge me, go ahead. But this dog had an impact on my life. I mean, so much that I got a sermon on this dog. Amen. Now, when I was about 22, I moved out of my house, bought my parents' house, bought my own house. My wife and I were dating at the time, and I wanted to get a dog. And we ended up going over to the Eastern Shore of Maryland, picking out this yellow lab, and picked him out, and then we got to bring him home a few weeks later. His name was Drake, so I'm going to refer to him as that's my dog, Drake. But I picked him for a purpose. You see, I wasn't just looking for a house dog, right? I was getting a hunting dog. I got any duck hunters in here? Any waterfowlers? Amen. Praise the Lord. You ever hunt with a dog? You ever hunt without a dog? Much prefer hunting with the dog. You shoot that bird, that dog will go out and get that bird and bring it back to you, and you stay dry. It's perfect. It's a blessing. And I got to thinking, you know what? When we get saved, we get saved for a purpose. God has something He wants us to do. You know, when it comes to salvation, we all know Ephesians 2:8-9, right? That we all have that memorized. There's probably, if there was a percentage in here of the people that have Ephesians 2:8-9 memorized, I wonder how much it drops when it comes to verse 10. Because verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, He's got a purpose for us. We all, when we get saved, it's, praise God, we have our fire insurance, but you know what? It goes beyond that. We ought to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a purpose for us. Now, when it comes to a hunting dog, or any dog for that matter, dogs need training. Right? You need to train them. And the very first thing outside of potty training you do with a dog, you know what you teach them? Sit. sit. You know what you need to learn how to do? Young preachers, young Christians, kids, teenagers, adults, seasoned saints, sit. Some, come to church and just sit. It starts with that. It's basic. This is real. This is alive, right? This is just an easy one, right over the plate for everybody. This is for everyone. You need to learn how to sit. And what comes after sit? Stay. Stay. And what comes after that, if you're going to, one of the things I wanted to teach my dog was heel. Everyone know what heel means with the dog? When I start to walk and move, that dog needs to stay right here next to me. As the master begins to move, he stays by my side. Because as the master moves, if that dog starts to wander off, he gets into a dangerous position. See, where we would go hunting is we have a house over in Cambridge, Maryland, and there's a public boat ramp. I mean, just about as far as the street is from here. And we would walk the road to our boats, get in and go, you know, to the hunting spot. Well, there's people driving on that road. It's dangerous. That dog needs to learn how to heel. Need to learn how to walk side by side by the master. Now, training is a process, right? When you get saved, you're not expected to have the Bible knowledge that Dr. Walker has, right? That's not like an instantaneous thing. There's a process that goes. There's a lot of work involved to get to that level. So when it came to my dog Drake, I had to send him away because it was a little bit more work and more time than I had. So I dropped him off for some training, and training starts easy. It gets progressively harder. The Christian life again is a process, and one of the things that that dog learned how to do was to, when he was a Labrador Retriever, right? So it's in his blood, it's in his DNA to retrieve. That's just what he wants to do. You throw a ball out there, he's going to run, get it, bring it back, maybe drop it, maybe play around. What we needed to learn how to do, what we needed to do with that dog was to harness his God-given talent to do it the way I wanted him to do it, the way it needed to be done. Because when you're duck hunting and you shoot a bird and he brings that thing back or just wants to swim off, no, I need that bird to come back to me. So one of the things he would learn how to do was the bird would drop or the ball would drop and he would just stay right there. You tell him, sit. And you throw a ball and he is just wanting to go. Wanting just to take off after that thing. Until I said, Drake. And then, boom, he'd go. Waiting for his name to be called. Waiting for his turn. Because sometimes when you're hunting, there's multiple dogs in the room. Or in the blind. And, every dog, once that gun starts going off, once their turn, they want to do what they're driven to do. But he had to wait his turn. And when he would bring that bird back, or ball, or whatever it was, bumper, he would come and he would sit by my side and hold that thing in his mouth. Just nice and easy. Because there's nothing worse than having a dog that's got a hard mouth because he's chewing up what you're going to be eating later. All right, he's tenderizing the meat. You don't want that. So he'd learn how to do that. And then one of the coolest things he learned how to do was what we call blind retrieves. All right. So when you're duck hunting, you're in a blind, right? I mean, you're trying to pretend you're not there. You're not being seen. And the dog, for most part, can't be looking out the window and trying to, scare the birds off. So what happens is there's shots, birds fall. And when you let that dog out, he's going to go where he thinks he's supposed to go. He has no idea where the bird went down, but he might just start going off in a direction. What he had to learn how to do was to obey commands. Now, this is what I used for him. We had the ability to, when he was going in the wrong direction, and he would turn around and look at me. Like, all right, where do I need to go? And he was heading in this direction. The bird's over here. I was able to go over. And he would start heading in that direction. If he started going in the wrong direction, hit the whistle. Back. He'd start going back. If I hit that whistle, that he'd start swimming back to me. And I found in the Christian life, sometimes we think we're heading in the right direction. And I might be reading my Bible, might be listening to some preaching, and the Lord goes, hey, dummy, hold on. Hey, you're going the wrong way. Over. You got to go this way. And for a dog to learn that, it's real tough. It takes practice, and you have to do that over and over and over. Because what happens is after a little bit of time and practice, that dog will learn that the master knows a little bit more than he does. That he can see things that he didn't see. Blind retrieves. Now, I can remember when we got him back, it wasn't long we were taking him hunting. And I was so excited. We had family up from Mississippi. You know, I'm going to show off my new dog. You know, we're all out there hunting. I could take you to the exact spot where we were early in the morning. Here comes some birds. Boom, boom, boom. One goes down and it's over here. And Drake goes, boom. He's just going right to it. I didn't have to send him in any direction. He knew right where to go. He swam right up to that duck, looked at it, turned around and came back. You guys laughed. I was almost in tears. My heart sunk. I was like, are you kidding me? All this time, all this money just wasted, and he didn't even bring the bird back? So we had to get in the boat, take him over there, and I'm just like, man, what am I going to do? We're sitting there, and I'm embarrassed. You know, my expectations were pretty high for this dog. So what I ended up doing, I was like, come on, let's go out here. So I grabbed him and the dead bird, and I just throw it from me to the pew. Drake. And he went, he picked it up, and came back. Sorry. Why didn't you do that before, but okay. And we did that two or three times. The next time these birds came down, boom, 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 birds go down, send them out. He went, picked up that bird, and brought it right back. And what that taught me was sometimes we can have these high expectations and just pour our heart into something and not get the results that we expected. And it can hurt. But I'm thankful that it's not us. God doesn't measure success by results. Amen. You know, the Bible said, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. Don't let results hurt you or the lack thereof. Because you'll just disappoint yourself. You'll have these high expectations of, man, I finished Bible school, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And it doesn't work out the way you think it does, like it was supposed to in your mind, and things just fall apart. Don't just rely on God. You just keep doing what you're supposed to do, and that's what God, that's how He measures success, is if you're obedient, not if there's results. Now, I'll tell you a story. You know, as I got older, you know, my I told you when I got him, I wasn't married. Got married, started having kids. I wasn't able to go hunting as much as I would like to, right? That happened, brother. It's just the way things work out. So my uncle, he would go hunting. He'd, hey, man, can I take the dogs? Absolutely. You know, I want him to keep that training up. I want him to keep going and not, you know, just get rusty. So he took them. And then this one afternoon, he was over there. It was a Saturday. I get a phone call. And my uncle, it might have been my buddy that was with him, they were in a panic. You see, where we go hunting, there was this bridge that we have to cross under to go where we're going. Well, when they were coming up, the tide had come up. And Drake liked to stand at the front of the boat, you know, just let the wind blow in his ears and stuff. And as they're coming underneath that bridge, there's a bolt sticking down and sliced him across his back about that long. Cut him, I mean, bad and deep. And they're freaking out, going, man, we're going to take him to the vet. All right, okay. I don't know what I can do. He was okay. I mean, but they stapled him up. He had two drains, one on each side of that wound. And, I mean, he was hurt bad. You know, he bore that scar until the day he died. You could see that line across his back. You could feel knots in the skin where those drains were. And you know, if he was hurt doing what he loved, that didn't stop him from going back. You know, he was hurt bad. He was cut deep. That scar was there forever. And he didn't quit. You're going to get hurt. Some of you have got some scars. You know, I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be able to tell that the Lord, you know, we're going to be able to see those holes, right? Those scars. And it said that we're going to be given a body likened unto His glorious body. Wonderful, bear the scars that we've had down here. Serving Him. Don't quit. You're going to get hurt. But don't let that get you out. You see, when He was hurt, I mean, He was hurt. But when it was time to go back out, He didn't hesitate. He kept going. Now, one of the things that drove me crazy about that dog, when he liked to run sometimes, right? Go outside, try to let him go to the bathroom, and I got something to do, I'm just going to let him, I come back out, and he's just gone. We live out in the country in the middle of nowhere, and he would just run. And he'd come back and just be filthy. I mean, he'd find the creek, he'd roll around in that thing and get filthy, and I would be so mad. Like, I'm not washing you. I'm not doing it this time. And I'm looking at him, go, all right, come here. And I'd be down there, and I'd, you know, with the hose and wash them, and the Lord go, you ever get dirty going out to the world?
Amen.
And I've washed you every time, haven't I, when you came back. I'm thankful we have a God that washes us up.
Amen.
And not the funny thing, but my mom, we don't live too far from my mom and dad. We're on the same property, basically. So they're at the end of the street. We're up here. Her dog wouldn't go to the creek unless my dog took him. You know, when you get out into the world, people follow you. Got to be careful. Got to be careful. Now, to wrap this thing up, you know, one of the things he would do constantly, I'd be sitting on the couch or sitting at my desk or doing something, and I'd get up and I'd almost trip over him because he'd be right underneath my feet. And I'd go, come on, dog, why you got to be right there all the time? And the Lord would say, what's so wrong with being at the feet of the Master? So he just loved me so much, he always wanted to be at my feet, kind of like Mary, right? Then Martha always, you know, why has she got, I'm in here doing this, and she's just sitting at your feet? Yeah, she's doing the right thing. Now, when I had my old truck had an exhaust system on it, so when I, you know, it was a little bit louder. Come right around, I get home around like 3:30, 4 o'clock, and right around like 3, he would get up and start pacing. Just looking out the window, lay down, get up. Like, when's he coming back? You know what he was doing? He was listening for that sound. You know what we need to be doing? Listening for that trumpet to sound. It's coming. We're going to hear that trumpet one day. Are we pacing for it? Are we anticipating it? You get rewarded for loving this coming back, don't you? Amen. Now, when I think about that dog, the same thought comes in my mind every time. You know, that dog, even he was hurt. He ran off. He came back dirty. But you know what? I love that dog. He was a good dog. What's the message? I want that to be said about me. Well done, my good and faithful servant. He was a faithful servant. I learned a lot from that dog. You know, they say dog is man's best friend. That's a half truth. Because that's only half of the relationship. Yeah, we were friends, but I was his master. He was my servant, and he was a faithful servant. Amen. Preacher.